Chapter 85. Custom of their kind. Brix tried to live with her relations in the country, but found that attempt was vain after the better society to which she had been accustomed. Brix's friends, small tradesmen, in a country town, quarreled over Miss Brix's 40 pounds a year as eagerly and more openly than Miss Crawley's kinsfolk had for that lady's inheritance. Brix's brother, a radical hatter and grocer, called his sister a purse-proud aristocrat, because she would not advance a part of her capital to stock his shop, and she would have done so most likely, but that their sister, a dissenting shoemaker's lady, at variance with the hatter and grocer, who went to another chapel, showed how their brother was on the verge of bankruptcy, and took possession of Brix for a while. The dissenting shoemaker wanted Miss Brix to send his son to college, and make a gentleman of him. Between them the two families got a great portion of her private savings out of her, and finally she fled to London followed by the anathemas of both, and determined to seek for servitude again as infinitely less onerous than liberty. And advertising in the papers that a gentlewoman of agreeable manners, and accustomed to the best society, was anxious to, and see, she took up her residence with Mr. Bowles in Half Moon Street, and waited the result of the advertisement. So it was that she fell in with Rebecca. Mrs. Rawdon's dashing little carriage and ponies was whirling down the street one day, just as Miss Brix, fatigued, had reached Mr. Bowles' door, after a weary walk to the Times office in the city, to insert her advertisement for the sixth time. Rebecca was driving, and at once recognized the gentlewoman with agreeable manners, and being a perfectly good-humored woman, as we have seen, and having a regard for Brix, she pulled up the ponies at the doorsteps, gave the reins to the groom, and jumping out, had hold of both Brix's hands, before she of the agreeable manners, had recovered from the shock of seeing an old friend. Brix cried, and Becky laughed a great deal, and kissed the gentlewoman, as soon as they got into the passage, and thence into Mrs. Bowles' front parlor, with the red moreen curtains, and the round looking glass, with the chained eagle above, gazing upon the back of the ticket in the window which announced apartments to let. Brix told all her history amidst those perfectly uncalled for sobs and ejaculations of wonder with which women of her soft nature salute an old acquaintance, or regard a rencounter in the street. For though people meet other people every day, yet some there are who insist upon discovering miracles. And women, even though they have disliked each other, begin to cry when they meet, deploring and remembering the time when they last quarreled. So, in a word, Brix told all her history, and Becky gave a narrative of her own life, with her usual artlessness and candor. Mrs. Bowles, late Firkin, came and listened grimly in the passage to the hysterical sniffling and giggling which went on in the front parlor. Becky had never been a favorite of hers. Since the establishment of the married couple in London they had frequented their former friends of the House of Raggles, and did not like the latter's account of the Colonel's meanage. "Wouldn't trust him, Rag, my boy," Bowles remarked. And his wife, when Mrs. Rawdon issued from the parlor, only saluted the lady with a very sour curtsy, and her fingers were like so many sausages, cold and lifeless, when she held them out in deference to Mrs. Rawdon, who persisted in shaking hands with the retired lady's maid. She whirled away into Piccadilly, nodding with the sweetest of smiles towards Miss Brix, who hung nodding at the window close under the advertisement card, and at the next moment, was in the park with a half dozen of dandies cantering after her carriage. When she found how her friend was situated, and how having a snug legacy from Miss Crawley, salary was no object to our gentlewoman, Becky instantly formed some benevolent little domestic plans concerning her. This was just such a companion as would suit her establishment, and she invited Brix to come to dinner with her that very evening, when she should see Becky's dear little darling Rawdon. Mrs. Bowles cautioned her lodger against venturing into the lion's den, "wherein you will rue it, Miss B, mark my words, and as sure as my name is Bowles." And Brix promised to be very cautious, The upshot of which caution was that she went to live with Mrs. Rawdon the next week, and had lent Rawdon Crawley £600 upon annuity before 6 months were over. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.